What is up, Dolphin fans? Got another week, another episode of the Dolphin Collective. Got the usual suspects up here in the building. How is everyone doing today?
Good.
Awesome.
Amazing. Amazing.
That's good. We got some drama we got to talk about. If it's not the Dolphins, it's not drama. You know what I'm saying?
Is it really drama though?
The truth isn't drama.
It's annoying. Like, it's not really drama. It's annoying. But we'll get to that real quick. I do have to shout out the sponsor, BetUS. Go check them out. Use the promo code YouTube150 and 150% on your first deposit. Then you get 125% on your next two deposits up to $2,000. Go check them out. Also, as you can already see, we have our first member.
Shadow!
You can now join the membership for $4 a month. If you scroll all the way up, you can see that we put the emojis of our faces, our beautiful, beautiful faces. That's one of the new perks. You also, name will be in the outro. You also will get shout outs and all these other cool perks. So if you would like to join the membership, it is the join button and next to the subscribe button. If you want to do it, if not, all right. Do whatever you want. Give
a crap. Well, that's a pitch right there.
I would like to know the benefits of membership because I am unaware of what this means.
So for the membership, if you're not a member and you want to put emojis, you could just put the random emojis. But for the people who are members, they get emojis of our faces, right? So if we say something maybe we like, or if we say something we don't like, they could put emojis of our faces. Also, you'll get a badge next to your name. So you see how Shadow Fate has that little like S? We're going to upgrade that. So it's like cool, different things. Like maybe we'll put the Lombardi. So
they get an emoji of my face?
Yes.
Yeah. We already got new members. Put the Omar emoji up if you're a member, all right?
Then we got another new member, JD the Great. New member. We got Glenn.
Listen. I live in South Florida and I'm outside. So anytime I go to a spot that I'm a frequent member of, you know, I generally don't have to wait in line. And I would recommend that members should not have to wait in line if they have a question or want to interject into a conversation.
So that's another thing. They can also comment and it'll say how long they've been a member. And on my channel, when I notice that, I go right to their question. It's kind of like donations, but it's free because you're already a member. So yeah, we might even do something where they could hop on the channel, maybe ask us a question. I don't know. We'll work on some perks, but yeah, we already got a bunch of new members. We got Ultron over here, new member. Members are hopping on like crazy.
You know the coolest thing about the membership though?
What's that?
Just in case you broke like me and you can't join, members can gift other people memberships.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a feature where you can actually gift people memberships. So that's pretty dope.
I ain't gifting you nothing, TD.
Oh, all right, Omar. All right.
I thought you said something nice about you.
Listen, hey, don't talk about my quarterback, Alan. You the hater. You the Tua hater.
Speaking of, look at this. Oh, we got King Henny, new member, and then just like that, Glenn gifted 10 memberships.
That's what's up.
What? That's dope, Glenn. I appreciate you, Glenn.
So who gets a membership? Delusional Patriot Fan gets one. Dad Dean gets one. Mudbone gets one. DJ Express. Ms. Relentless. Jeez, a lot of people are... Because now even Shadow Fate donated one. Mr. Fantastic. Derek Christmas Jr. AVS for Life. Endless. Patrick. And the Blue Dodgers all got gifted.
I have no idea what this all means, but I'm down for the ride. Let's get to some Dolphins talk because nobody is here to hear us talk about membership.
They are
here to hear us talk about the Dolphins.
So yeah, let's jump into the nonsense and get it out of the way because that's all it is nonsense. So Tyreek Hill was on Snapchat. Somebody asked him a question. What's your top five quarterbacks? He didn't name Tua. For the first time in 4 years, he didn't name Tua. Every other year, he named Tua.
I think he has not. I've heard him name Baker Mayfield before. He might have included Tua in the list. Mm. I'm not 100% sure. I don't keep track of Tyreek's lists.
I do.
What would you say?
I said I do.
But, you know, Poupard would, I'm sure he's got lists, all seven lists.
So I'll give my thoughts and then we'll go around the table. I think it's a whole bunch of nonsense. I think it's just him again getting attention. I don't think it's anything to it because, again, it's Tyreek being Tyreek with the emojis, with the peace fingers, with the little skit he did about getting traded and all this other stuff. I wish he was more team-oriented where he cared more about the team than himself, but that's just – to me, it's a look at me stunt, and it's something that McDaniel probably should have nipped in the butt. But
I mean, is it McDaniel's problem that Tyreek doesn't name Tua his top five quarterback?
Maybe don't say anything because you know for a fact that him not saying that, this man right here is going to make it into something.
This man right
here. These two men right here are going to take this and make it into
just let me know when it's my turn.
Thing, ginormous thing. And it's a big fat nothing burger. It's nothing.
Okay, hold on.
Tua's not a top five quarterback. Regardless, he's not. He's not a top 10 quarterback. So
okay, hold on.
Don't say anything.
Doug, I'm going to have an issue with your one point here. I don't know that it's necessarily him doing something proactively trying to be an attention-seeking troll. He's doing on Snapchat. Hold on. Here's the thing. He's on Snapchat. Somebody asks him a question. It's him not having the wherewithal to say, how is that going to come across if I either avoid the question or say, you know, I'm going to go with the same four guys everybody does, Lamar, Josh, Burrow, and Patrick, hold on, let me finish. And then then he could say, and then there's a whole bunch of guys who could be in there. But I don't think he intentionally went out of his way to leave out Tua to go like.
Thank you.
Oh, we lost
attention, control. Look at me.
All right, real quick, let me get to this. Noel One with the tenor. Huge donation. Appreciate you, bud. Tua is missing his point, his moment. He should put a video naming his top five receivers. And leaving Tyreek out. That is a good one. That is a good one. He should have. He really should have.
Hey, that's actually a good comment.
I do want to hear what TD has to say on this subject.
I'm not
Why you want to wait to hear it all first?
Yes, I do.
Real quick,
I think I have a take that does that nobody's gonna shit. Nobody's gonna
No, I don't support lying. I support not saying anything.
That's still lying.
345.
Lying.
That's not lying. If you don't say, does TD actually hate Tua? I'm gonna be like, you know what? I'm not gonna say anything because I won't blow up your spot. You got this thing going. You know, I'm not gonna say anything. I'm not lying.
Listen, let me get my take because Omar want to make sure he's safe. All right, listen. All right. Tyreek was not trying to put on a show in this situation. He was just chilling on a podcast. They asked him. He answered it.
He was on Snapchat. He wasn't on a podcast.
No, he was on Snapchat with someone else who asked him, and he just answered. If you watch the whole thing, you'll see the flow of the conversation. He was just answering it honestly.
He was on Snapchat, and somebody asked him a question on Snapchat. They, like, Snapchatted him a question, and he answered. He was on a podcast.
No, but I saw the whole thing where he read it and answered it clearly. He wasn't thinking through it like, oh, well, let me make sure I leave Tua out for any troll reason. He was just giving finally his sober take, his honest take. Okay, finally Tyreek was giving his honest take. But my take on this whole thing is he's being honest now. He hadn't been honest for 3 years. When he said Tua was better than Patrick Mahomes, when he said
accuracy.
He didn't say that.
Okay, accuracy. Tua's more accurate than Mahomes. Tua is a top five in his top five. It was always a lie. Why? Because when he signed that contract to come to Miami, in the fine print at the bottom in the addendum said, make sure that you boost up Tua Tagovailoa. Don't ever say nothing negative about him because McDaniel has one rule for the team. Make sure that you protect the team. I remember McDaniel rules, his rules for the team. One of the main ones was always protect the team. And Tyreek has done nothing but protect this team from a support standpoint and what he says since day one. Now, ain't no more guaranteed money. Just this year, you can't take it from me, and I can't get no more because I know y'all not finna give me no more after this. I ain't got to play that role no more. I could just go out and have my fun and tell the truth. And Doug was right. Me and Doug chatted on a private note on this. Doug was right. Tua was never a top five quarterback. That's why it's stupid to Doug, because anybody who thought it was crazy. But then Doug got silent on me when I say he ain't even a top 15. But that's a whole nother conversation.
Because I disagree.
That's a whole nother.
That's another conversation for another day.
I will say this,
that's
though.
That's all this is.
Before we go to Omar, I want to say this to you. I agree with you 100% with what McDaniel said of, you know, we got to have each other's back. And I think that kind of goes inside of what I'm saying is he's bringing that unnecessary attention because he's got a foot out the door, like you were saying. We definitely agree on that point. Let me get to these real quick. Nick with the tenor, another big tenor. 50 red, the biggest red flag here is Tyreek Hill still uses Snapchat. That is definitely
a lot of women still use Snapchat.
Do they really?
A lot of women.
I had to re-sign into my Snapchat to go find the actual full story.
Our residential expert.
Snapchat lets a lot of things slide that other media streaming sites do not. Yes, a lot of people use Snapchat.
Omar putting us up on game.
Yeah.
In the trenches with the 20 or another big donation. You guys are crazy with these donations. Watch the 2012 Hard Knocks, Alan and Omar stars. Omar telling Philman they sucked in games and throwback to when Alan had color in his hair.
you told him that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not shy. Y'all know I'm not shy about what I say.
Omar, what's your take?
Okay. This is going to hurt some people's feelings, but I think that there is beef. And there's beef between Tua and there's beef between Tyreek. It was not a coincidence that Tyreek felt when he went to the Super Bowl, he had to publicly apologize, not just to the team, but Tua specifically. Mm. Tyreek's behavior and antics have done nothing but undermined Mike McDaniel and compromise his standing with the team and with South Florida. You go after Mike, you go after Tua. And I think from what I'm hearing, Tua has taken a lot of the things that Tyreek has done and said quite personal, and it has impacted their relationship. Can it be fixed? Can it be fixed? I certainly hope so, but there is some tension there. Now, I think there's only a certain amount of hoops that Tyreek is going to jump through. And I don't know where Tua is. I have not talked to Tua. I have not talked to Tua camp. But Tua is deafeningly silent this offseason. And if you have not, it's been a warning shot to everybody. And I'm curious what this evolution will create. Tua is not Mr. Nice Guy right now.
You look nice in that race car.
That's Tua enjoying.
Hey, his driver won the race, so.
That's because he was driving. Stage. Number one, baby.
That's right. No, he inspired him. I rode with Tua, man. I'm gonna ride that to the
exactly to the Super Bowl.
Right? Really?
You're saying Super Bowl, TD.
Really?
You said we were going Super Bowl this year, TD.
Did he inspire us in January like that?
He wasn't there. That's interesting though. Now, so I got a question for you, Omar. What do you I need more? You drop that nugget.
I don't have more because I can't get to the Tua.
But what are you saying by like the silence and like that there's something brewing? Like, is he
on a vengeance tour? Is he what?
Is he on like a revenge tour? Like, is he?
No, I don't think it's that.
On his last year tour.
Stop. No, he's got 2 more years.
It's not his last year.
2016. He will be here.
26,
Omar. Come on.
2026. Come on, man.
Yeah. I can't speak to this verbatim, but this is supposedly no longer Mr. Nice Guy. And there are a number of guys who know that they have to step up and take more of a leadership mantle and responsibility towards the team. I'm curious to see if Tua is one of them, because clearly he has to be a leader. He has to step up his role. Sealer is clearly one of them. Jordan Brooks is one of them. Maybe Jalen Phillips. I don't know. They kind of work in a tandem. I don't think everything is kumbaya, right? Between him and Tyreek. And I didn't necessarily want to believe everything until now I see Tyreek is, you know, not that it's a big deal, because I've actually heard Tyreek mention Baker Mayfield as one of his top quarterbacks before. And I thought to myself, Baker Mayfield?
He's always said that even before he came to Miami.
Is it like an Oklahoma thing? I don't know.
He likes Baker. He just likes Baker game. I don't know why, but yeah. He's always said it.
And honestly, let's be real about it. Nobody here is going to sit here and tell you that Tua is a top five quarterback. Yes, he's led the league in passer rating, completion percentage, and yards thrown for. He's been in the MVP conversation for 2 years heading into December. Stop it. It's true. It's true. It's factual.
That was a good one.
Baltimore game with a showdown for that MVP. Tua had helped the Miami Dolphins beat the Baltimore Ravens. Dolphins would have been a number one seed,
and
probably would have moonwalked into the MVP honors.
Omar, if grandma had one, should be grandpa.
I don't
even know who I would name five. Maybe Matt Stafford, maybe Jared Goff, but it's not Tua.
But you don't. That's the point.
Yeah.
You can go with the ones. You can go with the ones that everybody would say that's not going to cause any sort of ruckus, and then just give a generic non-answer. Seriously, this is not the time. He's still playing with the guy, and as TD mentioned earlier, when he first got to Miami, he was doing an awful lot of tire pumping with Tua. I mean, big time.
Excessive, out of his way.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. As long as everybody understood what that was about, there's nothing wrong with that. You don't go the opposite. If he doesn't feel like saying Tua is a top five, that's fine. Then dance around the question or refuse to answer.
No, that's not what you do when you're doing a Q&A in a podcast. And if you're tired,
Say his name again, though, because you know better.
Alan Poupard.
Omar Kelly.
You know better than most of us. You were the one that pointed it out to me at the very first introduction of Tyreek, because I didn't know him. Tyreek just says things for attention. Yes. He just does. Yeah. I was like, no, this isn't true. And then I learned in year one, it's hella true. And here we are, 2 years later it's gotten worse.
Well, here's the problem, Omar. You're talking
about Tyreek, there's a problem.
If he did take his name off for attention, then that's a bigger issue, because he's intentionally making something be known.
I got a question for you, TD, but I don't think he took it off for attention. I think he just I think he just gave the answer, but I don't think he thought of the fan base and the repercussions, and now people are like,
he hasn't corrected it either.
Exactly.
It's
kind of like what happened at the end of the game against the Jets. He didn't really think of the ramifications of people are like, he wants out. Because it was like a heat of the moment thing.
Talking.
Yeah. But I got a question for you, because when Omar was talking about how, you know, Tua was silent and, you know, he's angry and, you know, you looked like more like you were annoyed by that than like, good. I want to see him come out. I want to see him fired up.
Well, it wasn't just about Tua, because he could be on a mission and angry all he wants. He's still going to go out there and look like he looked. My bigger concern with what Omar was saying was something a little bit different, same avenue, but I'm tired of us needing to appoint and search for the leaders. Mm. Like, fabricate the leaders. Like, leaders are what Calais Campbell came in and did automatically without, well, enlightenment.
I disagree. I have I've been doing this for a very long time, and leaders are not as hard, easy to find as people think that they are. Would you disagree, Poupard?
No, but it's also, there are certain players who are not born to be leaders.
Correct.
No matter how much you want to put them in that role. And Calais Campbell and Teron Armstead were guys who, when the Dolphins signed, those are guys who are natural-born leaders.
We're at a shortage of the natural-born leaders right now, and when you fabricate them, the real dogs never respect that, in my opinion.
I don't know if you're fabricating them, but sometimes guys who are not natural-born leaders, they have to elevate themselves and become more vocal. I remember the Cameron Wake era. That was not Cameron Wake's personality, but because he was the top player on the team at the time, he had to step up. What?
Was Cameron Wake ever, would you ever consider him a leader on this?
He was
he give the speech, the pregame speech. I think he tried.
Yep. Yeah. But I wasn't. He was a guy who was doing his thing. Work ethic up the wazoo, but he was doing his thing.
Sometimes those are lead by example guys. Sometimes, I mean,
sure.
I don't necessarily think that, I'm not going to sit here and say judgment to players, leader, non-leader, knee leader, non-leader. But I could clearly tell you there's a Mount Rushmore of leadership, and you know Cameron Wake's not on it. But then sometimes guys like Joey Porter. Joey Porter's a great leader, but he wasn't always going to lead you into the right places. And Jalen Ramsey, same way. I think Jalen Ramsey was a good leader. He wasn't necessarily always going to lead you to the right places.
But again, Omar, this goes to my point. There is no, I don't know of a natural born leader on this roster. I don't. We can guess and be like, Zeeler maybe? No. I'm not talking about the maybes. Jordan, there is
Jordan Brooks maybe.
He's a very quiet guy.
I think he's got natural leadership abilities.
You think
More so than probably anybody on this roster.
Yeah, but is he exercising him?
He's got to be vocal to exert that leadership, and I'm not sure. The first time we saw him become more vocal at the end of the season when he became comfortable in his position. And maybe that's a lot of times when a guy just gets there, they don't want to step forward and be leader. Now, Calais Campbell been playing longer than his coach has been coaching. Yeah. So
some of them are alive.
Yeah. But Omar, this locker room right now makes me feel like when things get rough and people start cursing at each other, they're not going to accept it. They're going to say, who you talking to? That's what this locker room makes me feel like. There is no alpha that commands. I just don't see it.
I agree with you, but it's not always the alpha. Jarvis Landry was the alpha. Mike Pouncey were the alpha. They didn't always lead you. Richie Incognito was the alpha. They didn't always lead you into the right place. It's a very, and I think Poupard could address this because he's seen it longer. Leadership is probably the most complicated dance and line that you got to really walk. And, I've seen it done so many different ways from Ryan Fitzpatrick to Chad Pennington to it's done so many different ways. And I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer. Two of the best leaders that I've ever seen on the franchise were Teron Armstead and Calais Campbell ever seen. I don't think you can create those players. You can't just pluck them out of the NFL and add them to the Dolphins. I can't name you players and leaders like that.
What's your guy's favorite cheese?
Munster and mozzarella.
Since I don't like cheese, I'm going to have to go with mozzarella because I eat pizza and it's mozzarella.
It's just been sitting there. It was a good lull for me to throw a stupid question out there. It's a funny one. I appreciate the donation. It's that whole Mike McDaniel loves to say the whole adversity and the face of
opportunity.
Adversity. Oh my God.
Gosh, if I hear that again.
It is.
What I love but about- every time he say it, like every time we go through adversity, we lose two or three straight. Well, adversity is an opportunity, and now we get to go out there and take have that opportunity. And we just get demolished every time he say that speech. Every time he say it's an opportunity.
It's the same thing for every single solitary team. It's like if I ever have to hear again, you know, we have a next man up mentality.
Yeah.
Every team has a next man up mentality. I mean, it's like, oh no, this guy's done. We're out. We're you know, canceling the rest of the season. Like, come on, man.
But I don't like next man up mentality because if you feel that way, go get somebody so you don't feel like it's next man up. You know, like I feel like it's a passive approach. Yeah, I know what you're saying, Allie, because you're deaf. Like, we always talk about next man up, and we're not happy about the deaf that's coming up. Well, that's us. Go get somebody that you're happy with.
And it's easier said than done.
I understand.
You act like they can go get two starting cornerbacks right now. Like, Magic, two starting cornerbacks.
Well, if you never traded Tyreek, you would have had him.
Who? Name
did
him.
Do you know what Tyreek Hill's draft picks turn into?
No. Yeah, but do you think Greer would have took those?
Oh, which is true. McDuffie. I'm just saying. No, not just Trent McDuffie. All three of their two starters in the first one off the bench.
Yeah, but one of those was like in the fifth round or something. I mean,
it was the fourth round. Chimari Connor, who's a good depth piece, but their other starting corner was no. Chimari Connor actually start. He was in the fourth round. He's their starter opposite of Trent McDuffie.
They moved up in the first round with the Dolphins pick to get Trent McDuffie. So we're playing. If you're doing the Chiefs turn the pick into that, after seven steps, just like when everybody does the Laremy Tunsil trade and then they tack on 37 players.
It was still possible.
Maybe.
It starts with good evaluation. We all know that's hit or miss.
What do you guys think about this comment? Tua equals Trent Green. Because I'm seeing a lot of like Tua equals Cleo Lemon and Tua equals like they're just
don't
bad.
Disrespect Cleo Lemon like that.
And I'm not so against.
I'm the only one who caught that TD. You just couldn't resist, could you?
What did he say?
Disrespect Cleo Lemon like that.
Oh my god. Next man up mentality. As long as it's not incognito, Mike with the fiver.
Right now it is. Right now it is.
It might be the man up.
Right now, might be. Right now.
So I found a clip of how to say Jonah's last name.
Go for it.
It's not Savayanea. It's not Savayanea. It's Savudinaya.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, I'll just get it wrong.
Jonah S.
So it's like Savut, like V-U-T. Savutinaya. Savutinaya.
Okay.
I listened to it like nine times because I got Noah Igbinoghene. I got, all the guys. I have to like learn them because I'm just like
Savutinaya.
There you go. All
right, cool. I'm rocking with it.
So let's talk. Let's get off that talk. We're at the halfway point. We talked about it. I think it'll probably be more things will happen down the line. Undrafted free agents. We got some good ones. Like this list of undrafted free agents, especially Andrew Armstrong, who some considered would have been drafted at least in the fifth round. Omar, what's your take on the UDFAs? Do you think this is a good group of players, or is it more like their bodies?
I couldn't name one.
Thank you.
And I honestly, and Poupard knows this. I honestly don't plan to name one. I don't care.
You have to earn it.
I'm blessed and fortunate, as is Poupard, to be able to watch practice and see if they can make plays.
Okay.
When they're making plays and working on the third unit, and they actually catch the ball or break the pass up or create pressure or burrow open a hole, and I say, "Oh, who is that?" And then have to pick up my roster and see, oh, that guy's named Storm Duck. Okay, I'll remember 36. And if 36 keeps making plays, I'll remember 36. I don't care who these guys are. I don't even plan to learn their name. I don't.
Yeah, it's true. I can testify to that. By the way, so I did a story on MiamiDolphinsOnTheSide.com because I'm the guy, unfortunately, I get criticized for that sometimes for being too negative. Like, and I know a lot of fans get overly excited about undrafted rookie free agents. My point is always there's a reason like that. And yes, there's a Kader Kohou. So I wrote a story, the players, the rookie free agents of the past 10 years who made their way onto the 53. It's not a terribly long list. I will read the names out very quickly, and that will be my point. Storm Duck, Andrew Meyer, Julian Hill, Ethan Bonner, Chris Brooks, Brandon Peely, Tanner Connor, Verone McKinley III, Kader Kohou, Robert Jones, Benito Jones, Shaq Calhoun, Nick Needham, Patrick Laird, Preston Williams, Jalen Davis, Matt Hawk, Maurice Smith, Torrey McTyer, Andrew Franks, Matt Dar, Mike Hull, and Zach Vigil. My point being,
three starters.
Kader Kohou might be the best player out of that list.
I'd Brooks. Say Brooks. Kader personally, but
who? You'd say who?
Kader as a nickel corner.
Yeah, Kader. That's what I was saying. Kader might be the best player in that whole list.
Brooks. That's over 10 years, so you're not looking at major impact. This is why, again, if Devon one of those guys,
Devon Best, that's earlier.
That's 2008. Yeah. I mean, that's before that. Devon Best was a great rookie free agent.
And that's my point. Devon Best just stood out immediately from his rookie season to the point I think he contributed more than the first round pick Ted Ginn as a wide receiver. I think he started before Ted Ginn.
He was the year after Ted Ginn.
Ted Ginn was 2007. Oh yeah, I think he played more than Ted Ginn that year.
Much better wide receiver than Ted Ginn.
In Miami.
Sorry?
Miami's version of Ted Ginn.
As a wide receiver, I said Ted Ginn's career was made as a kick returner, not as a wide receiver.
He played like 13 years in the league.
He did as a kick returner.
He made plays. What team was that?
I think
Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I think he's in San Francisco. Okay.
Ted Ginn had a very respect. I say this
all in career
and all the time. Like that dude played 14 years in the NFL.
Miami, years. San Fran, Carolina, Arizona.
He had a series of 3 years, 2015, 16, and 17, where he caught 700-plus receiving yards.
Yep.
So 33 touchdowns, 35 offensive touchdowns, not even special teams. I have a hard time saying that. This guy started 83 games in his career, 14 years. He's not just a returner. Like – Devin Hester was just a returner. Again, contributed a little bit more than that.
Yeah, his best year was 2015 with the Panthers. 44 catches, 739 yards, 10 touchdowns.
Okay, and you're ready for this? Devon Best averaged 60 catches in his 6 years in Miami. And you're saying Ted Ginn's best year was 44 catches. Come on. Like I said, as a receiver, to me, Devon Best was a better wide receiver than Ted Ginn.
All right. One played 14 years.
Well, Devon, there are other issues that led to Devon Bess's career.
That is true.
Was Victor Cruz undrafted?
I believe so, yes.
He was another one that came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Wes Welker.
That was the Giants-Jets game, I remember, where Rex Ryan was like, who the hell is that? When Victor Cruz went off against the Jets.
Omar, why'd you go like that? Why'd you tilt your head when I said Wes Welker?
I don't question you. I thought Wes was drafted, but I don't care. Probably.
what did he get hired by? He just got hired by somebody. Washington. Yes, yes, correct.
Yeah, undrafted 2004.
Yep.
But do y'all really care about these undrafted guys?
No. It's just
Dudley mentioned Anthony Armstrong being psyched about him.
Yeah, because you know, you saw the potential in him, you saw where he was ranked, what he did, 78 receptions, 1140 yards, one touchdown though. It's like
he wasn't drafted though.
Yeah, and that's what I there was a few guys that didn't get drafted. That one defensive end that didn't get drafted. I forgot his name.
There are a lot of things about the draft process that we in the public don't know. For instance, guys with degenerative knee issues or some kind of medical issues, or the bipolar crowd, or the guys who are addicted to marijuana, or the guys who have, you know, spousal issues, or there are so many, or the guys with learning disabilities that can't learn a play. There are so many things that we don't know why guys get undrafted.
People don't think about those interviews with loved ones and all of that stuff.
Yeah, true.
Like Preston Williams probably might have been one of the most talented players. No, you know who was more talented than Preston Williams? And Poopar can chime in on this. Who's your most talented undrafted guy that you've ever seen? I will give you two to choose from. I'll give you three.
Cameron Wake. Go ahead.
No, we're not counting Cameron Wake. He went and went to the CFL.
Yeah, but he's still undrafted. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay, fine. I'll give you Cameron Wake.
Larry Little.
No. Right,
go ahead.
Larry Little was undrafted?
Yes. Hall of Famer Larry Little.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Kurt Warner was undrafted too, right?
Yeah, yes. I'm not, I'm talking about for Dolphins.
Okay.
Since I've been covering this team, Chris McCain.
Cool. I know you're a big fan. I know.
Woo!
Big fan.
That guy used to destroy quarterbacks in practice. To the point where they just could not give up on the investment on him, because at some point, but then there was little screw off, little screw was loose. you know, no offense, I love him, but you know, there was little screw loose. AJ Francis, who one of my favorite
guys. Wrestling now.
He's wrestling.
He's wrestling. He's so charismatic. But he was a good nose tackle. He bounced around the league for years. I'll give you my third one is Preston Williams. And I know Cater has done well for himself, but man, Preston ability wise, with that early before the injury, like come on, you go for a starter on a team. I think
on their rebuilding team, Omar, on their tanking team of 2019 is when he started. He was good, but he wasn't half as good as a lot of us in the media. And I won't name names. It wasn't you, but some of them, partly because X said in practice one time, this guy's going to be a Pro Bowler. And it's
he was better than Devontae Parker. He was, there's no doubt. Now, did he have the maturity or the intellect? Like, you remember the press conference where he came in smelling like weed? You remember it. You remember
it wasn't a press conference. I think it was at a table or something. Yeah.
No, it was a press conference. He came to the podium and we're sitting there in the chair and the room reeks of weed. This is right after practice.
Medicinal.
you know, I don't want to tell people business, but there are a lot of reasons why guys don't make it. Like you come straight from practice and you reek of weed. Like, how does that happen? Like you know, and I know I've seen guys smoke weed right after practice, off the practice field, like go outside in Davie and smoke weed. But this is weed is legal now, by the way. But that was back when weed wasn't legal. But the NFL knew people smoke weed all the time. The NFL's known people smoke weed for 20 years.
By the way, my choice pretty clearly is Devon Bess. Because I remember his rookie camp, and it was like I was making the comments again. This dude's always open. I mean, he is always open. I mean, absolutely fabulous route runner, and finding spots and zones. I mean, it was really impressive.
Yeah, he was killing it. He was absolutely killing it. That's a good one too. But ability wise, I'm just talking about guys who just you saw the ability, but it just didn't pan out for him. But Devon. You know, Devon had such a great career until he started dealing with some issues, personal issues, and, you know, it led to some mental issues and it led to weed addiction, weed abuse. And, you know, and I'm glad he's got his life under control now. But yeah, it was bad for a while.
Yeah, the fish tank. He was on the fish tank. He talked about all that. Yeah. It's a good listen if you guys haven't checked that out. It really breaks it down.
Bottom line for me is hope for the best for one or two or three of these rookie free agents to really make an impression and be able to make a contribution, you know, immediately, but also understand that it's a long shot. And the reality is it's probably going to be very minimal.
Mm.
That's how I would
you know, expect the best, you know, expect the worst, and, you know,
hope for the best.
Hope for the best. And if someone pops up, they pop up, and then we'll overhype them like we always do.
Who was a UM kid that, like, I was obsessed with? He's still in the league, by the way. Mitchell Agudé. Yeah. Guy was a sack monster on the third team unit. I didn't think he had a bad exhibition season. They just cut him like he didn't even matter. And didn't even add him to the practice squad. He's still in the league. I think he's in Detroit.
Yeah, but he's bouncing around up and down. I don't know if he's ever played a game. Do you guys remember a running back by the name of Zaquandre White?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I was told, you keep an eye on him. That guy's going to be that. He's going to make the roster, and you watch. And lo and behold, he was one of the first cuts.
Wow. It's all about special teams, man. You got to make special teams.
Yeah.
Somebody in that, let's go off a little bit, because we were talking about marijuana. Somebody mentioned Ricky Williams.
What's that got to do with marijuana?
Oh. Right. Now, Omar, when did you start covering the Dolphins?
I covered Ricky Williams. I started 2007. I wasn't there for all the Poupard years where Ricky abandoned the team and then abandoned the team and, you know.
So what's – because he – Ricky came out and he, you know, he made it seem like he didn't retire for weed, even though some fans think it was for weed. He said it was more he was getting physically, like, destroyed, and he retired because they were like, oh, we're going to stick with Jay Fiedler. Like, they didn't get him a quarterback. Is that true, or was it he retired to smoke weed?
Let Poupard speak on this. I think it's bullshit. Bullshoot.
Well, the combination of both is, one is he knew he was about to get suspended, and then two, there was something to him, like, being tired of getting asked to carry the ball 30 times a game, being the so much a focal point of the offense that you're going to take that punishment. You mentioned, like, the podcast, the fish tank. There was also a documentary, The Run, Ricky Run, which was excellent, the 30 for 30, and he talked about that, and it, like I said, it was a combination of both.
Man, that man didn't want to stop smoking weed, even though he knew he was getting tested. He got suspended. He decided to run, leave the country, and live in a tent.
But was it for his pain management?
Bro, it's the off season. How are you in pain in the off season program? Nobody's hit you for 5 months. No, nobody's hit you for 5 months.
He came back to the Dolphins, right?
Huh?
He didn't start smoking until he got to the Dolphins, right?
I don't know when he started smoking.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, you know, because he had that anxiety and that weird wear the helmet and everything. So it's probably that too.
He had social anxiety. It's okay. We get it. But I mean, Ricky was a very weird, unique guy. I never got close to him or understood him. But Ricky, and they were like 2-3 years where Ricky'd be in the locker room, and you could talk to Ricky about anything. The minute you wanted to talk about football, conversation was over. And I'm dead serious. You could casually, non-casually, he could talk about acupuncture. He could talk about the stock market. He could talk about architecture. He could talk about anything. The minute you want to talk about football, forget it. Conversation done. I felt like he personally came back because the Dolphins wanted their money back, and he had to play the game. And then I think Bill Parcells took care of him financially and got him out of that bind, and then apparently he found his passion and love for the sport. But I always say this, and it gets me criticized and scrutinized a lot. Ricky Williams might be the last person I'd ever want to see in the Dolphins Ring of Honor.
Really? Because of how he left?
That's tough.
You abandoned your team. Is there a worse sin than abandoning your team? Y'all mad at Tyreek because he said he don't want
to play anymore. You know what, Omar?
This man left. And I gotta, not once.
But I gotta disagree with that. He may have abandoned the team, but he gave the fan base the only thing to cheer for in them years.
That's true.
That defense was pretty damn good, and I love
it. Yeah, but we knew we never had a shot unless Ricky was getting that football.
Well, Ronnie Brown also was a big part of that Wildcat. I will say this, Omar, I was making faces because that's what I do, but I agree with you. Because of what happened in 2004, no, I don't think you should go on Dolphins on a roll. I will say this as somebody who's covered the team full-time since 1989. very possibly the most gifted player I've seen in a Dolphin uniform. That dude was like an absolutely amazing running back. The vision he had, the combination of speed and short area quickness and the power, what an absolute complete stud.
So we got a steal in that trade for Ricky, essentially.
For two, I mean, it's a steep price, two first round picks, but
it wasn't what the Saints gave up.
I'll never forget being like 10 feet away from Ricky Williams. It was a Jacksonville Jaguars game, coming out of the tunnel by the end zone. I was right there on the field, like right behind the end zone, and the Dolphins were running the ball from like the 2 yard line or something, and his legs were like massive, like his thigh, like area. I'm like, geez. And he took the ball like 90 something yards down the field. And I'll never forget that moment, man. It was just the craziest, but I've never seen a person's leg that's not fat, just fat, just muscular like that.
Yeah. We've seen, I forget who was the back that I saw that had the biggest legs. Football might remember. But Ricky, I remember when he became a vegan, his whole body changed and slimmed down. He had such a unique, interesting journey to life. And I admired that. And football didn't define him. And I love that. And I love the fact that we now defines him. And he's a very major advocate for marijuana and holistic healing. So props to him for like, you know, turning that into something that's lasting impact.
TD, when you said they were running the ball, I thought you were going to say they were running the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen.
No, it
boo. Well,
we ain't been the greatest football team, man.
He said that he like smoked, I think when he had like two straight 300 yard games, he smoked before both of those games.
200 yard games.
Man,
200 yard games. Not
hey, I'll give him 300, man. My favorite play, and people like to crap on Jay Feeler, was that play where it went to the right, to the left, and then he came back to the right, and Jay Feeler threw a block, and again against Buffalo, such an
amazing record as a starting quarterback.
People hate on Jay Feeler.
I
love Jay Feeler.
I would show you a figure right now, but I don't want to get censored. I know exactly what you just did. So does Tua. He has got an amazing record as well. Yeah. And he doesn't have like a top. He doesn't have an all-time defense.
Oh my god!
We're not going to get that.
Two Hall of Famers and four Ring of Honor players, if not five. No, five Ring of Honor players.
Jay Feeler didn't have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and Devon Achane and Raheem Mostert, but that's a different conversation. Go ahead, Doug.
William with the tenor says, which undrafted rookie we picked up, in your opinion, had the best chance to become someone like Devon Bess? Meaning, who do you think has the biggest chance to impress right now? Oh, I don't know. Like Omar said, he don't even know. I'll read some of these names.
You could give me a quiz whether a guy is a Dolphins player or not.
I don't know.
I have.
I want to do it.
I don't know. I don't care. They're gonna get, when we have rookie camp on Friday, they're gonna give us a laundry list of names, guys who are tryout and guys who are signed. And I'm gonna not even care. I am not gonna be watching any of Dolphins rookie camp because
you know. By the way, you know when one of the tryout guys is going to be is Blaine Gabbert's brother,
Omar, BJ Adams, or Raheem Sanders. Who's a Dolphin?
I know BJ Adams. I know he's in the cornerback. Yeah, that's probably the one I'm probably the most excited about.
Right, we'll give
there
you.
There is a more. Level of excitement because I thought they could have drafted him in the seventh round.
All right, I'll give you one more: Theo Weiss or Jay Higgins. Who's a Dolphin?
I'm going to go with Jay Higgins.
Nope. It's Theo Weiss Jr.
Name sounded familiar.
Oh man. Karan with a five area says Dolphins are so bad. When I told GPT they were my favorite team, it referred me to see Tua's concussion doctor. That's bad. That's bad.
TD's upset now.
I said this, and I do want to get to questions, but I said this on Twitter. And as usual, two people got their panties in a bunch.
Crazy, man.
You know,
yeah, Teron Armstead.
That's a whole different conversation, but yes, Teron Armstead. I don't think it was a shot.
He just explained it. Yeah, no,
he said the kid has work to do, and he does have work to do. But Chop Robinson. People don't understand that they will see one comment from my conversation on Twitter. They don't know there are three comments that lead up to that one comment. People are like, oh, Chop Robinson had a phenomenal year. What are you talking about?
He's
sensational. I'm like,
Get
out of here.
Omar, that drives me crazy. And that's just Dolphin fans. Everybody that's a Dolphin that showed any promise, they were MVP if you ask somebody. It's crazy to me. I always tell people that Chop Robinson is a down specialist. Mm-hmm. Not only is he a down specialist, he showed flashes to where you feel good about his trajectory. Yeah. That's as far as you'll go. Stop acting like Chop Robinson went off this year. Like we know we got our solidified.
He had no pass rush.
Oh my
God. He had nothing.
Here's my biggest gripe about Chop Robinson. And I hate talking about him because they call you a hater, because I'm just trying to tell my honest opinion of him. He ain't never going to beat anybody with power. He's never going to go through anybody, in my opinion. He's going to beat you on the first step going around, and maybe he gets you all balanced and then drive you, but he'll need to work through that, work on that better. But he's never going to be the three-down guy that you need to win in every situation on an obvious rundown. What is his run defense?
They can develop and get better. He can develop and get better. He can get stronger. I don't know if he had a lingering – he chose not to do the bench press in the draft process. Obviously, he didn't want to put up like 12 reps because that would have said, bye-bye to your stock. We don't know if he had a shoulder issue. We don't know what the issue was. But does he need to get better as an edge setter? Absolutely. So did Jalen Phillips. Jalen Phillips had to get better as an edge setter his rookie season. Those things come in time. I think Chop is at his best when he's an elephant, where he's a player, a piece that moves around and cherry picks. No, he has no assignment. He cherry picks where he's going to rush the passer from, and everybody else works against that. And he's looking, and that's where he's at his best. You couldn't do that last year. You couldn't do that this year with Chubb and Phillips on the opposite side, and then have Sealer on the inside, and then have him walking around. I think he could be a dynamic, impactful player doing that. But, you know, that's just me being creative.
This is what Teron Armstead said. He said, Chop can set the edge now. I've actually blocked him. He's strong and willing to attack blockers. The willingness is part to focus on when you get those elite rushers. Some don't even care to play the run. And that's not the case here. Absolutely an area of improvement for him. So he did agree with Omar, along with many other things, as he just finished his rookie year! Point.
So get off his back.
Yeah, TD. Why are you hating on the Dolphins so much? Take all that stuff down behind you.
I'm just telling you what he was his rookie year. Until I see the progression, and stop giving him credit ahead of time. That's how I feel.
So here's what
you did it for Josh Rosen, though. Kalen Ballage. Should I go down your list?
Do you like Josh Rosen?
No.
I need to hear an answer to that question. Did you like Josh Rosen?
No, I was delusional, like most Dolphins <Josh Rosen. laughs> No, I never forget, Omar. I was on my channel. It was draft day. I was bathing my child in the bathtub, just literally bathing. When we traded for Josh Rosen, I went live on my phone. We got our future, baby. Oh, my God.
I hated that trade.
I thought that trade all, I knew that trade was coming from the morning, and oh my God, I was like, don't do this. Don't do this. Please, please don't do this. I put out film after cut up. I was like, please, please, please don't do this.
When day one ended, I made a video saying that. I was like, please don't trade for Josh Rosen.
Please don't do it.
To be fair to Josh Rosen, he didn't have Tyreek Waddle.
He sucked. let me get to the point that I was going. He sucked. He was only guy sucked more.
Oh, we got to clip that. We got to clip
that. Hold on, though. Let me. I want to say this about Josh Rosen.
He sucked.
The first time I saw him throw the ball in practice, it was like, hot damn, that ball comes out of his hand. I mean, and it spins it beautifully. Then the first preseason game, he's holding the ball in the pocket, and I'm like, oh shit, he doesn't know what he's doing in the pocket. Not good. And then whoop, spiral that went downhill. And he should have been the starter the entire season. But that's
oh yeah. If they wanted to get that number one pick, they should not have put Fitzpatrick in.
Here's the point that I made. Somebody was talking, you know, the usual Dolphins doom and gloom. Oh, where the season had the OTAs, they haven't even hit the field for OTAs yet, and season's over.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I disagree with your viewpoint. Here's why. In terms of the Dolphins can actually be a respectable good team. What happens if they have a 2,300-yard rushing game like they did in 2023? What happens if Chop and Jalen and Chubb each deliver 10 sacks, becoming a forceful defensive line? You know, they did set a franchise record, 54 sacks in 2023. It wasn't that long ago. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, the other day. What happens if Tua stays healthy for an entire season? I know it's only happened once, but that means it can happen again. You know, if you put a respectable offensive line in front of him. What happens if Tua stays healthy and Tyreek and Waddle get back to being top five wide receivers and producing 3,000 yards again? What if you put all of those three things together,
mm-hmm.
you could be sitting on 12 wins.
Oh, Jesus. Holy moly.
That could all of those things happen?
Wow.
Could all of those things happen?
All of them together?
All of them together. I'm just asking, could they run for 2,300 yards next season?
Not likely.
I didn't answer you that question. I said, could they run
for 2,300? I could wake up tomorrow and play basketball. Is that likely to happen? I mean...
Could Jalen, Chop, and Chubb produce 10 sacks apiece?
Yeah, I think that one is more 5%, likely.
5%, 3 10 sack players, 5% chance.
Could happen though.
I think that's more likely than the rushing.
Okay. Could Tua stay healthy for
Daniel Jones could throw for 4,500 yards. If you're going to want to go that route, Omar, everything can happen, but the probability, and you're putting a lot of probability.
I always do a stream once a year, every summer, probability versus possibility. And everybody want to live in the possibility world. Anything's possible. Okay.
Probability. Omar, you know how on Twitter it drives you nuts when people don't listen or read everything you say and they just take a snippet? This right here, it always makes me laugh. Every time I do my predictions, and I do it the Wednesday before the season kicks off, I always say, take this with a grain of salt, because the season could end and the Dolphins can get hot or they can suck at the end with injuries. And everyone forgets that part and they say stuff like this. Doug predicted 13 wins last year. Okay.
I said Leggett and Nunez was going to be a good starter in the NFL. People haven't stopped bringing that up to me, and that was 2012. That was 13 years ago. I said Cam Wake needs to play better on special teams to make the roster, and they are not letting that go.
Words are forever.
Well, hold on, because I know we got to go. But Omar, so you're out here, you know, starting this parade of hope with what's possible.
Realistic. We actually get to see the team. Mm-hmm. At a certain point, we get to see the team, and we'll tell you, yeah or nah. Like, you know, They got to get leaders. They got to keep Tua healthy. Line got to develop chemistry. Wide receivers got to get their minds right.
McDaniel got to be a better coach.
Like, oh, no, and Mike McDaniel has to coach better. And so does Anthony Weaver. He's got to coach better. He got to find a cornerback. But my point is, the Eagles have a list of things that need to go right for them to get back to where they were. The Kansas City Chiefs have a list of things that need to get to go right for them to get back to where they were. Is the list as long as the Dolphins? No, but it's still a list. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they made it to the playoffs. Well, how many straight times? I mean, like three straight seasons? Like, they got to get to the next level. They got to get over the hump. They got a laundry list just about as long as the Dolphins. So why are we – well, I don't understand Dolphin fans in this doom and gloom. Oh, the season sucks. The team sucks. The offseason sucks. This whole season, why even watch it? Why are we like that?
I got the perfect answer for you, Omar. Huh? Yeah, I got a perfect answer for you, Omar. No, but it's the truth. This is what a lot of Dolphin fans feel.
He's going to say it.
At least those other teams with a list got a quarterback that they're confident about going into war with. They see these quarterbacks, no matter what, as long as we got them, we got a chance. With Tua, nobody think they have a legitimate chance. Yeah, with Baker Mayfield, people think they have a chance. Why wouldn't they?
Like, Baker Mayfield was played for three teams in 1 year.
And guess what? The last 3 years, he's been better than Tua.
He's had a hell of a wide receiver core and a very good
like Tua. Like, what are you talking about?
Come on, man. Can I chime in this on the whole outlook type of thing? Is I'm with Omar to a certain degree in that I think it's silly to eliminate any possibility of big success because we don't know what's going to happen. But I think we also have to be realistic that the Dolphins do have a lot of ifs, a lot of question marks that they have to get answers to. And the probability probably isn't great that they're going to get enough positive answers to get them where they want to go.
To defend Omar, you don't need it, but to defend Omar, essentially what he is saying is you don't know. Well, we even got in a rookie mini camp, and you don't know what's going to happen. And it's the same thing like when I do my record predictions. Like Scott Jackson's already asking me, okay, dog, how many this year? Why do you think I put my record predictions out the day before kickoff? A lot could happen from now until that Thursday. A lot can happen from week one to week 10. A lot could happen. And that's what Omar's saying is you're doom and glooming right now. We don't know. And we've all heard Omar say during training camp, wow, the offensive line sucks, and like he will give you the honest answer. Do you think the corners are going to help you? We're in trouble. Like, let it play out essentially is what Omar's saying.
We don't even know if Jalen Wright could do what Jay Ajayi did.
Yeah,
we don't know.
James Daniels might be a fantastic right guard for us. His Achilles might be fully healed, and him and Jonah might blow people off the line, and you know, you never know.
And Tua might win MVP.
Why not?
He could.
He almost did.
Can I request that we stop with the narrative of the offensive line's got to protect Tua because of two injuries last year, Omar?
And we're not from the O-line.
We're not on the O-line.
His concussions, please. Nothing with the O-line. Yeah.
Maybe if he actually felt like he could hold the ball for like four Mississippis, then he wouldn't be throwing the ball as quickly as
the internal clock messed up.
That's got nothing to do. It's got nothing to do with
him. I'm just saying a better offensive line will lead to a better quarterback. Can we agree to that?
We won't have to depend on him to throw it as much if we could run it more. So yeah.
Maybe if he had the opportunity to hold on to the ball and look downfield some instead of every minute.
He actually gets in trouble when that happens.
Omar, he actually, his numbers are worse when he does that. And let me say this about Tua. Well, that's proven. That's a fact. Go look at the stats. Let me say this about Tua. Tua can't operate an offense where he gets 4 seconds to go through progressions. You know why? Because when he identifies the fourth one, it's too late. The arm strength, they're going to get it there in time. That's why he has to anticipate on 1-2. 1-2. 1-2. He has to anticipate. He's not the type of quarterback that can live outside of – he can't live outside of anticipation. But it also fits into his arm string because he can get it off early. Going through progressions 3 and 4, yeah, he's done it before. But doing that on a healthy basis, the arm strength ain't built for that.
In 2023, he was the biggest big play producing quarterback in the NFL.
on first and second reads.
it don't matter. He still did it.
Okay. William with the 5 says Omar 12 wins. You need two with concussion doctor's number.
40-yard comeback routes.
Yeah. Oh, stop. Who throwing 40-yard comeback routes?
Sure. He the only quarterback in the league that throw the ball. Oh, anyway.
All right, let's move on.
Mal B with the 5 says 12 wins for the Dolphins. That hasn't happened since 1990. Unlikely. That is going to be it. You guys enjoyed 632 of you in here. Hit that like button before we get out of here. Go check out Omar Kelly
on the Miami Herald and
Dolphins. Just throws on us.
Yeah, Miami Herald, Omar Kelly. I'm Miami Herald columnist. We've got.
I'm back. Okay.
Players talking tomorrow. We've got rookie camp at the end of the week. Alan Poupard on Dolphins on SI. What do you call yourself now? Miami Dolphins
podcast. On SI. Come on, let me give my own plug. Yeah, Alan Poupard, Miami Dolphins on SI. On SI.com. Tons of free content every single solitary day. The All Dolphins podcast, which celebrated episode 500 yesterday.
Nice.
That's probably episode 12,000.
Something like that. My numbering is probably not exactly on cue, but
yeah,
I am TD Fans Talk. You can find me on the golf course, the yacht, or the race car.
When you been on the yacht?
I live a yacht life, actually, for real, Omar.
How come you're not inviting us though? Rude.
Yeah, man.
Go to Golden Isles. I'll hook y'all up.
I need a yacht experience this summer. That's what I need.
I've never been on a yacht.
Pretty good life. So. Pretty good life, man.
And I'll burn. I'm a giant pasty, man. I'll just burn.
You will burn.
Even with sunblock on, I'll burn. One last member, Flip 8245. Thank you for joining the membership. All right, guys. We will. Oh, wait, we got one more donation. Glenn, there is over 600 people in here. We can support the channel. At least hit the like button. It takes 2 seconds.
Just yes, like absolutely. Button. We appreciate everybody hitting the like button. It helps us in the algorithm.
Yep.
It lets YouTube know that we are a force, and we truly people don't understand the growth that this podcast has had in 4 episodes.
Yeah.
4 episodes. You see a sponsor.
Yeah. I think we're almost at 4,000 subs, which is nuts.
Well, that's it. How much you got to be to pay component now? I thought it was 4,000.
1,000.
No, oh, we've been there. We've been there, Omar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But listen, the growth, and this is a podcast that's built by all 4 of us, and it just brings all 4 of the biggest. Well, I shouldn't say that because people are going to get in their feelings. It brings all.
Please don't do that. I don't need no trouble.
Somebody's already got a target on his back. We don't need to put another one.
I'm just little old me. I ain't got time for that.
All of us are like this.
Let's get out of here before we get any more trouble. We'll see you guys this Thursday, actually, where you're getting 2 episodes.
Yeah. Now we got, because we got a sponsor, we have to do 2 episodes, not have to. It's profitable. So
also don't forget to check out BetUS. Use the promo code YouTube150, 150% on your first deposit up to $2,000. We will see you guys Thursday, 7:30. But yeah, we're out.
And members, be here on Thursday, members. We want to talk directly to you.
Because I got a date Thursday night.
Be here. See you guys later.
Peace.